This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Utopia Media Voting News. We're back to talk to Barbara Simons, who was at one time earlier this year, or actually last year, a member of the Security Peer Review Group that examined the Secure Electronic Registration and Voting Experiment, or SERV, at the Pentagon. And she's here to talk to us a little bit about the possible efforts to revive that program. Welcome to Utopia Media Voting News.
Hello.
Hi. So you're there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, good. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Before we talk about what you did with SERV, what's your day job?
I'm actually retired from IBM, IBM Research.
Oh, okay. And what kind of things do you work on there?
Well, at IBM, I was I worked on theory and compiler optimization.
Okay. So how did it happen that you were selected to serve on the SERV evaluation panel that the
The 2001 Internet Voting Panel that President Clinton had requested the NSF to. So my guess is that that's why they selected me. I mean, I wasn't told why I was chosen.
Oh, okay. Did you get, and how long did you serve from? From when to when?
Well, we basically had 2 3-day meetings, and I attended both of them.
Okay. So it was pretty much a 6-day project.
Well, and then we had, obviously we had communications in between.
Right.
But physically, we only met together, as I say, 2 3-day meetings.
Okay, and if you could say it concisely, how did you conduct the study? Did you examine machines? Did you read code? Did you talk to people who were building the SERV project, or what?
We talked to people who were building the SERV project. They made presentations describing the general architecture, describing how they were dealing with certain types of issues. We did not look at code specifically. We did at one point try the machines when they, this is obviously on a later meeting, when they had something, they had some preliminary stuff up and we played with that a little bit.
Okay. And what was the conclusion of the people who issued the report along with you about the viability of the SERV voting system as a way of collecting votes from hundreds of thousands of soldiers and people overseas?
Well, our concern was that because the system is based on the Internet and using any computer you want, I mean, you can go, according to the proposal, you could go to a cyber cafe in Thailand and vote from there.
Right.
So, the PCs that were being used could easily have been infected either by somebody locally who infected them or over the Internet. We just felt that there were so many security risks because of the Internet aspect of the system that it was impossible to guarantee the security.
So this wasn't a near thing. It wasn't that one line of code out of a million was written wrong, or that people had not really understood the problem. As you saw it, it was simply because the Internet is an insecure medium that you couldn't do Internet voting. No matter how good you were at writing.
Well,
code.
I mean, yeah, the Internet and the PCs that were being used,
right,
and the operating system, the whole ball of wax. And it wasn't just one line of code. I have to say, when we were working on our report, we actually tried to come up with some alternative proposals that at least something could be salvaged, because they're trying to address the legitimate problem,
right,
of getting the ballots
delivered and
collected to and from
in time,
the military in a timely fashion so they can,
right,
participate in the elections. And this is something that we all support,
right,
as a good goal. And so when we decided that the general system itself was just too insecure, we tried to see if perhaps there was a way that we could maybe do remote registration over the Internet, that maybe that might work. But even there, we just found there were too many problems. It just basically stems from the insecurity of the medium.
Right. So in the old days, they said, on the Internet, no one can tell you're a dog. And on the current Internet, you can't tell if it's a dog voting.
Right. Well, I mean, I have to say, the people who were working on the project were certainly aware of the security issues.
Right.
And I think they tried their best to try to deal with them. I mean, their security person was a very knowledgeable and well-intentioned person.
Right.
The problem is that he was trying to solve an impossible problem.
Okay. Almost as bad as squaring the circle, practically. Or
well, maybe.
So, what finally happened? You issued a report. Who all was? Not everyone on the security group, security peer review group, joined in.
That's
who joined in, and what did you issue, and when exactly?
Well, the four authors of the report were David Jefferson, David Wagner, Avi Rubin, and me.
Okay, and so just a little bit about the bureaucratic infighting. Was there an effort to get a consensus view and that failed?
No,
or
we
what?
Didn't really try. We knew that a couple of people who were on the panel might not agree with us. And then there were other people who were on the panel who weren't computer scientists, like
right.
Mike Alvarez, for example,
right.
was one of the people on the panel, or at least he was, I'm not sure if he was on the panel, but he was involved with the meetings. And, you know, he's a social scientist, he's not a computer scientist. So we basically just worked on it ourselves. There was one person who joined, who attended the second meeting who I think might have signed on, but he just hadn't been as involved as we were. We were the only ones of the computer scientists who attended both three-day meetings.
Okay. And
well, either there or remotely.
Okay. And the succinct statement of your final conclusions and recommendations was what?
Well, we just felt that the system should be halted, that the work should be halted and the system scrapped because the Internet is simply too insecure. And as I say, it's with great reluctance that we made that recommendation.
Okay. Your report was the first of many scathing reports that were issued this year by government commissions. What was the reaction when you issued your report?
Well, the reaction was what we read in the press.
Right.
You know, that Wolfowitz decided to stop the work on the project.
Right, that's Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz.
That's correct.
Right. Did you ever meet him? Did you ever meet him during the process?
No.
I never
and
knew.
And he didn't tell us that he was going to do this. I found out about it from a reporter.
I never knew he had anything to do with the project until I read in the paper that he had canceled it.
I didn't know either.
Yes, okay.
But, I mean, it was a DOD project, and he is at the DOD, so,
right.
You know, there's some consistent...
Right,
you know.
Right. It does make sense.
Mm-hmm.
You may or may not have known until I did. I'll just give you the briefest rundown of how this happened. I was browsing the Pentagon Press Relations website when I saw that a press conference had been held just recently, that had a high-ranking Defense Department person and a high-ranking Postal Service person,
mm-hmm.
who spoke at a press conference and said, "We're getting together and we're going to really try hard to make sure that the soldiers get their and sailors get their." Ballots in a timely way, and they can fill them out, and they can get them back in a timely way." Which, of course, was.
Well, that's good. I'm glad they're doing that.
Right, and they said they were going to do that at the press mm-hmm. conference. Someone spoke up and said, "Excuse me, representative spokesperson of the Pentagon. What about that internet voting program you were working on?"
Uh-huh.
And he said, he shoved it aside. Later, though, the reporter came back and said, "Well, come on, you didn't say anything about the internet program. What's going on with it?"
Mm-hmm.
So the spokesperson named Abel said, "Well, the Senate wants to do one thing and the House wants to do something else,
mm-hmm.
and we'll do whatever they decide." And so I hadn't heard anything about that. So I followed that up and spoke to someone at the Pentagon, and he said, "Yes, the Senate's passed a provision to continue the program, and the House mm-hmm. has passed a provision to terminate the program." So I followed that up some more, blah, 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 and learned a lot about how little members of Congress, senators, and their staffs know about internet voting programs
right.
and about the CERV program. But I did manage to get copies of the two provisions, one which is in they're both in the 2005 Defense Authorization Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And the House version says, very briefly, the program that set up CERV is now terminated.
Mm-hmm.
The Senate version almost as succinctly says the program that used to require this be done by 2004, which has now been moved up, is now moved up by 2 years. It has to be done by 2006,
mm-hmm.
and if the Secretary of Defense, in his discretion, believes that it can't be done because of reasons of national security until 2008, that's okay too.
Mm-hmm.
So there now exists two versions of bills referring to CERV.
Mm-hmm.
The Senate members of the Senate Armed Services Committee become ipso facto members of the Conference Committee to work it out. Over in the House, they have to appoint conferees, and they didn't do that before they left. They're not doing it while they're out of session. When they come back, presumably they're going to do that,
mm-hmm.
and then they're going to go into conference and decide what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole. You and our listeners have now heard the whole story about the possible revival of CERV.
Mm-hmm.
As one of the people who did the study that said you can't build in January of 2004 said you can't build it because the internet's not secure. What are your feelings about reviving this program?
Well, I think it would be a mistake. You can't. I mean, the internet is still as insecure as it was before.
Yes. Okay.
But neither the Senate nor the House consulted with us.
Right. They did not.
No.
No, and didn't ask you.
Well, certainly not me. I mean, It's conceivable that one of my co-authors had some interactions with him, although I very much doubt it.
But you personally haven't heard from the House or the Senate to talk to them about this. Okay.
No, absolutely not.
Okay, if you got about 2 more minutes here, let me ask you one.
I do. Now, is this being taped, right?
Tape recorded, right, and it's going to go.
Yeah, because there's all this noise in the background.
It's okay. It just adds a little flavor. It's it's okay. It hasn't gotten in trouble. One of your co-members of the SPRG panel.
You want to break that? No?
Yeah.
I'm sorry,
go on. It's okay. Another member of the SPRG panel that issued the report along with you in January was David Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in 2000, David Jefferson was a member of the Internet Voting Task Force in California.
California group you're talking about?
Yes, in California. Uh-huh. The Secretary of State,
Lockyer was the Attorney General.
Yes, Bill Jones. The Secretary of State, who's now the Republican nominee for the Senate, appointed a task force to study Internet voting in California.
Mm-hmm.
David Jefferson was the technical director.
Uh-huh.
He wrote the report. Uh-huh. And in the report, he said exactly what you said in January of 2004. He said, Internet's too leaky. You can't build a remote Internet voting system. In 2001, David Jefferson was technical supervisor for a National Science Foundation Internet voting study, and he said, you can't build a remote Internet voting system. You can't do it. It's subject to viruses and hacking and all kinds of problems, and you can't build it. He said that in 2000 in a big in the biggest internet task force report ever issued.
Mm-hmm.
He said it again in 2001 in the second biggest one ever issued.
Mm-hmm.
He said it a third time in January of 2004 in the report that you co-authored with him.
And it was also said in the report that I was a part of the panel for the NSF study in 2001.
Right. In 2001, you were in that panel with David Jefferson.
And Avi Rubin and a lot of people.
My obvious question is, didn't either the private contractors or the government overseers who instituted CERV look at the record before they started building an internet voting system to see that the biggest experts in the field were on record as saying it couldn't be done?
Well, I think what you have here is that Congress wanted to do something after the 2000 election to make it easier for the military to vote. You know, there were a lot of issues about the ballots not getting back in time and
right.
so on.
Yes.
And so they wanted to do something for the military, and I think people were very well-intentioned. There's this fundamental problem, which is that Congress, most members of Congress are attorneys. They're educated in liberal arts. They're not really very knowledgeable about technology.
Right.
So the fact that they didn't read these studies doesn't surprise me. It's unfortunate that their aides also didn't read the studies. But again, if you're an aide to a member of Congress and you're, for example, in charge of the science and technology, that's a whole lot of stuff for one person to cover.
Right.
So plus there are a lot of people who, when you first say internet voting initially, they say, well, of course, why can't I? I mean, I can pay my bills over the Internet. I can buy books from Amazon.com over the Internet.
Right.
Why can't I vote over the Internet? And, this is sort of my initial reaction, too, when I, before I before I thought about it.
Right.
So people don't understand that initially voting is very different from doing commerce because voting... it's secret and it's anonymous.
Right.
Whereas if I buy a book from Amazon.com, they know who I am, and I want them to know who I am, and I want them to know what book I'm buying. So.
Right. Okay. So you're saying, but
it's a harder problem.
Right.
It's
but as for isolating though that particular thing that David Jefferson said, you can't do it in 2000. He said you can't do it in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
You said it can't be done in 2001. The Pentagon started doing it in 2003 after all of this was vastly in the public record, and then they spent $20 million, and then David Jefferson and you said it again, and they said, oh, I guess you can't do it, you see what I mean.
Well, in fairness to the Pentagon, I think that they were told to do it by Congress.
Oh, I see. Oh, so the fault, if there is any, lies in Congress. Okay. Well, based on my experience over the last few weeks in trying to get any word from Congress about how individual members or committees felt about this, in which I got nothing, and I found that no one understood or knew what was going on,
right.
I think your point is well taken. After you issued your report and after Deputy Secretary Wolfowitz canceled the program, although it wasn't canceled, it was just called off for November, the program still had 9 months to go, and I contacted the spokespeople at the Pentagon and said, said, well, how much money did you save? Because you canceled you sort of canceled the program 9 months before you were going to use it, before you'd finished building it, before you'd deployed it, before you trained people on it, and certainly before you used it. Mm-hmm. And they said, we don't have any money left. We spent all of our money. So my question turned to, okay, how are you planning on running the last 9 months of the program without any money? And
I don't know anything about that. I can't help you with that at all because they never discussed their budget with us.
Right.
I mean, we were brought in to look at the security issues, not issues like budget.
Okay.
So I just don't know.
If CERV is reauthorized, if the Senate if the Senate version carries the day in the conference committee, what do you think will happen then?
Well, I would I would hope that people would read our report and, you know, bring us in to discuss it with them and talk about why we felt this was a problem. I would hope they would do that.
Right.
But I'm not holding my breath.
Okay. Did you have any contact with the Election Assistance Commission, and do you think that they are playing any role now or should play any role in the development of standards for the certification of any remote Internet voting system, including something like CERV?
I personally have not had any contact with the Election Assistance Commission, although I know that Avi Rubin has.
Oh, okay.
And he has talked with the chair of the EAC.
Mr. Soros.
That's right.
Okay. Last question. Is it even theoretically possible, in your professional opinion, to build a secure, accurate, user-friendly, private, anonymous, where it has to be, remote Internet voting system?
Not with the current structure of the Internet. I mean, conceivably, someday in the future we could do it if we have secure computers, maybe. You know, you can't, as a scientist, I can't say it can never be done.
Right.
But I can say it can't be done today. It can't be done the way the Internet is right now. And the Internet is not going to be all that different in a couple of years. I mean, you really require major change to make the Internet secure.
What major changes in the network and in the computers would have to be made in general to make it possible to do remote Internet voting in a secure way?
Well, you know, there is work on people are looking at trying to develop secure computers.
Right. That's the so-called trusted computing movement, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And if everyone had a trusted computer, would that be good enough, or would there still have to be changes to the Internet?
It might be good enough. It would depend.
Okay.
You know, I can't say it would be good enough.
Right.
Because, you know, it would depend on the system. It would depend on a whole lot of things. I mean, I would say that's a necessary prerequisite, and at least you have to be voting from secure computers.
Right.
But that's not sufficient. I mean, you know, these are complicated systems.
Right.
And as we've already discussed, voting is a very complex issue.
Okay.
It's not like doing commerce.
All right. Do you vote by absentee ballot, or you go down to the polls yourself?
Well, we just, in Santa Clara County, just purchased DREs. Several of us fought that, tried to get them not to do it.
Right.
I voted on the DRE in the recall.
Right.
See what it was like. And then I requested a permanent absentee ballot. I'm not going to vote on one again.
Not because it was too complicated for you to use, but because why?
Because they're insecure.
Okay. So, in fact, the really simple, low-tech solution for people who don't like, or who are only sort of worried about their own situation, who don't like DREs without voter-verified paper audit trails, is to just request permanent absentee ballot status.
Well, that's one approach. I'm not thrilled with it because there are problems with absentee ballots, too, as you know. I mean, there are you have to make sure that they get delivered, that they get counted, and so on. I mean, there's been fraud in the past with absentee ballots, although I'm not suggesting that there would be in California. But absentee ballots are a solution, not the ideal solution, but as far as I'm concerned, it's better than voting on these paperless machines that I simply don't trust. We know that the machines that are out there are, they're low quality. There've been major security problems found in code when security experts haven't had a chance to look at it. My view is these machines were slapped together because of the $4 billion HAVA.
Right.
And And what election officials should be doing is trying to get their money back because they were sold a bill of goods. They were sold inferior stuff.
We'll see what happens. It seems to me that if you're willing to give up the privacy aspect, that the New England town meeting in which everyone came into the town hall and issues are voted on by the entire constituency, and they vote on what they want to spend and what they want to do and so on, then you don't have – that's a low-tech solution also that might but it's not exactly feasible if you've got 100 million voters, though. So.
It's also not feasible when you think about the history of voting in the United States.
Right.
You think about the situation for blacks in the South historically.
Right.
If you took away privacy – I mean, even now there are still problems, as you know, with blacks being disenfranchised in parts of the South or attempts being made to do that. If you took away privacy, it could seriously impact – I mean, there are people who would be very, very disturbed if privacy were taken away. So unfortunately, we don't have a situation throughout the country where there's a level of trust that you might find in New England town hall meetings. And of course, also, you know, New England town hall meetings typically deal with less significant issues than the presidency.
Right.
With all due respect to New England.
Right. Well, which may get its own president. One of its own in the White House still won't do that. Right. I want to thank you very much.
You're certainly welcome. And dinner's ready, so the timing's good.
Timing's good, good. Thank you very much.
Okay. Let me know what happens with this, will you?
I will.
Okay, thanks.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye.